Some years ago now, I first heard the song by Amy Grant, which is about the names of God, entitled El Shaddai. I remember when I heard that, thinking, that is one of the most beautiful sounding names for God. But it's only really now that I've kind of sat down and thought, well, what does it mean? Where does it find? What is it telling us about God? El Shaddai is in fact a two-part name. The first part is El. It comes from Elohim. We looked at Elohim a while back. So El is the kind of abbreviation of that. So when you think of El, you think of one who is creator, one who is extremely powerful. Second part of that name is Shaddai. And Shaddai is translated in most of our Bibles with one word, Almighty. Now in fact, El Shaddai is only found seven times in the compound form El Shaddai. It is found another 41 times just as the word Shaddai, standing by itself. So it's a name that can be given in two ways, as El Shaddai, God Almighty, or simply as Shaddai, Almighty. In three of those seven times when it's the whole name El Shaddai, it is actually God who is speaking. And it is God who is proclaiming this as his name, and proclaiming it as expressing something more of his character to those that he loves and who he calls his people. First, he reveals it to Abraham. The second time he uses it, it is to Jacob. The third time, it is to Moses. When God speaks to Moses, and he does so in Exodus chapter 6, verse 3, the occasion is the burning bush. God is to explain to Moses the wonderful name of Jehovah that we looked at, or Yahweh that we looked at last week. But before he does that, he turns to Moses and he says to him this. In Exodus 6 and verse 3, I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty, as El Shaddai. That's the history I want you to remember, Moses. Then he goes on and tells him another name, the name Yahweh or Jehovah. But that revelation to Abraham is recorded in the passage we read today in Genesis chapter 17 and verse 1. When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am El Shaddai. I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. Now what we need to know is that Abraham already knew that his God was Elohim. He knew God was already El or Elohim. He knew he was the creator. He knew he was the powerful God. But because of what God knew Abraham was about to face in his experience, God also knew that Abraham needed to know more about God, to know more about his God than that. He needed to know now that his God was El Shaddai. So what was Abraham facing at this point in his experience? Well, firstly, God was about to change his name. May not seem a big thing to us, but in those days, a name meant the character. A name was what you would be. And God said, I'm going to change your name from Abram to Abraham. And Abraham means father of many. Yet, at this stage, Abraham was 99 years old and his wife Sarah was 90. And he knew that when God said you will be father of many, he was talking about father of many through his wife Sarah. And his wife Sarah at 90 had never had any children and wasn't likely to have any. And yet God said to him, Abraham, you're going to be father of many. That's quite a name to live up to at that stage in your life. The second thing he was facing was connected. God was also just about to tell him that Sarah, at the age of 90, would have a son. And that God's promise to Abraham that his descendants would be as many as the grains of sand on the seashore would come through or come to pass through this child, whose name would be Isaac. Now put yourself in Abraham's position for a moment. All his life he had been praying to God that Sarah would have this child. All his life he'd been hanging on this covenant that God had made, that through Sarah, Abraham would have a family that would one day be a mighty nation. And now he was 99 and he'd given up praying. And his wife, the scripture tells us, was long beyond the time when she could actually expect to have children. And God says, I'm changing your name now, Abraham, because it's about to happen. And I can imagine Abraham saying to God, he talks about, well, let's go through Ishmael, the one I had from the main servant, and one I did kind of follow my own rules. I tried my own way of fixing the problem. God says, no. It's going to be through this child who Sarah will have. And imagine Abraham coming to God and saying, well, this is impossible, God. How can this impossible thing happen? The whole course of nature would have to be turned up on its head. And God responded and said, easy, easy, because my name is El Shaddai. You see the connection? I am the God of the impossible. I am the Almighty One. Well, the next time we find God using this name is in Genesis 35 and verse 11. And this time God is talking to someone else. God is talking to Jacob. Once a name, it's interesting to note that a name change is involved. God says to Jacob, and you remember his name meant schemer, trickster, not a very nice name to carry around, but it's a name he lived up to. He wasn't a particularly nice character. God said, I'm going to change your name. Your name will be Israel, which means one who persevered with God, one who struggled with God and prevailed. So God is saying, hey, we're going to change your name. And that's going to be a big name to live up to too, when you've been known as a trickster all your life. But once again, God expresses to Jacob a really wonderful promise about his descendants. It's what God said. I am El Shaddai. I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and increase in number. A nation and a community of nations will come from you. And kings will come from your body. The land I gave to Abraham and Isaac, I also give to you. And I will give this land to your descendants after you. This day, Jacob was just a man with a big family. And yet, what a promise that out of him, a big nation with kings and rulers would come. And here is the promises that only El Shaddai, only God Almighty can bring to fruition. So when we think about God, we say, well, we've looked at God's name, we've looked at Elohim, we've looked at Yahweh. What is the extra that this name El Shaddai tells us about our God? And it's this, that he is prepared and he is able to do the impossible. He's even able to change the very course of nature if he so desires. And he will do it for the sake of his chosen people, those he loves. And that he is also a God who keeps his promises, who cares deeply for those who follow him, who provides daily for them, and a God who works great changes in a person in accordance with a new name that he gives them. That is amazing. That's what El Shaddai is all about. But maybe this morning, it just may be, or perhaps not today, but at other times, you are conscious that you've thought at times, well, that's all well and good, but if God is Indeed, all that the name El Shaddai suggests, why is it that bad things happen to good people? Why is it that sometimes those who love the Lord the most seem to suffer the most too? And why is it that there's innocent all over the world who El Shaddai, the Almighty, allows to suffer? Now, the interesting thing about such a thought is that if you've had it, you're not the first. Indeed, there was a character very old, right back in the Old Testament, whose name was Job. And you know what? He voiced to God the very same thought about the name Shaddai, about the name Almighty, right there, back in the book of Job. Now, I mentioned earlier that Shaddai stands often or mostly by itself as a name for God. In fact, 41 times out of the 48 times, it's just Shaddai by itself. You know, if you go to the book of Job, you'll find that the name Shaddai appears in that book 31 times. Out of the 41, 31 times is in the book of Job. Every one of Job's advisors uses the name Shaddai. And Job uses it when he addresses God. And at one point, God uses it for himself. An interesting little exercise, which I did the other day, I quite enjoyed, you might like to do. Start at Job chapter 5, because you won't find it beforehand, and go right through and circle every time you see Almighty. You should count them, you should have 31. And then follow through, and you get the idea of what's happening, because even though in this book the name God appears many more times, there's something about this word Almighty that is giving us a message. Because the whole flavour of Job is about this. It's very interesting. Now, I guess most of us will be familiar with Job's story. Job was a very righteous, godly man who had a family that he loved and prayed for all the time. Sacrificed for them. When they got into trouble, when they did bad things, it was Job who would go to God and say, "Look, God, forgive them," and would sacrifice on their behalf. One time, the Bible tells us, Satan decided he wanted to try to make Job go against God. And he got permission from God to afflict Job. Job lost his family. They died. He lost all his homes, all his business, all he had. He lost his health. Came out in these sores all over. The last place we find Job, or not the last place, but the major place, is on a rubbish heap. Sitting there with a bit of clay from a broken pot, scraping his sores. Not a good look. Not a good picture. But this is Job. But with Job are four of his friends, four advisors. They sit with him for 7 days and say nothing. Then they started to speak. And that wasn't so good. But it's interesting, when you go to the book of Job, the first one who speaks is this fella, Eliphaz. And Eliphaz says this in Job 5, verse 8. The first time the word Shaddai or Almighty is found in the book of Job, it's Eliphaz who introduces it. And he says this to him. Blessed is the man whom God corrects. It's easy to say when God isn't correcting you, I would think. Blessed is the man whom God corrects. So do not despise, Job, the discipline of the Shaddai, of the Almighty. And then if you look at chapter 5, he actually follows that with a description of the wonderful things that the Almighty, the Shaddai, does for those who trust him. Now the inference of what he says is very clear. He's saying to Job, look, Shaddai is great, he's wonderful, but obviously you've done something really bad and you're getting corrected for it, so just sit there and bear it. Well, Job kind of doesn't have the same thought. In fact, he doesn't think he's done anything wrong whatsoever, not to merit this. And he's not shy in coming forward and telling his friend that he hasn't done anything wrong. And so Job responds in 6:4 by saying, well, look, I trust El Shaddai, I walk in his ways. And yet the arrows of the Almighty, they are in me. They're poisoning my spirit. This Shaddai you speak so highly of, he's doing this to me and I don't deserve it. Well, that really sits the cat amongst the pigeons. And throughout the rest of the book, each one of Job's advisors argues for the Almighty. They say, Shaddai, he can't possibly let you down. So therefore, you must have sinned. You're just not telling us about it. Job's reaction is to turn to his friends, and that's what you find through this discussion, and declare that he has done no sin, no wickedness that could merit these bad things happening to him. And then Job takes it a bit further. He starts to address God. And he basically says to God, you have given us this name for yourself, Shaddai. This name which means Almighty. With all that such a name promises for those who follow you. How come then you're allowing all these bad things to continuously happen to me when I have sought always to be just and righteous? Explain it to me, because it just doesn't add up. Your name is Shaddai, Almighty. Why aren't you living up to it? And then in 40 verse 2, God responds. Will the one who contends with the Shaddai, the Almighty, correct him? Will the one who challenges me and who seeks to correct me, will you stand up and declare yourself? Will the one who thinks that you've got it right and I've got it wrong, with the one who thinks that you know more than I do, where are you? Will you stand before me now? And of course, Job is kind of really shaken by this. And he listens. And God then shows that the problem that Job had, and his advisors had too, but in an even worse way, was in their belief. That because of all the bad things that were happening to Job at this time, God was obviously not living up to his name. God was not being Almighty. His friends thought he was not being Almighty because there was some bad in Job. Job thought he was not being Almighty because he'd forgotten or something. But what they were saying was that he was not being the Almighty One to Job. He was not being there for Job. He was not looking after him. He was not preserving him. And God says, but I am. And so what does God do? He describes his immense power in all creation. His majesty is shown in all he has made and controls. He says, look at all that. Look at the immensity of what I have done. What you can see around you. Doesn't that show that I'm Almighty? And I will always be Almighty. I can't not be Almighty. I can't stop being Almighty. That despite what Job thinks because of his earthly situation, God has never deserted him, because God has made it so that he is unable to desert those he cares for. That God has always preserved his soul, which is the most important thing about Job. And for Job, with his earthly and very limited understanding, he can never expect to understand the workings of the Almighty, can he? In his life, in the life of others. But because God is all he says he is, Job doesn't need to understand. God has revealed enough of himself in all he has made for man to trust him as the Almighty, as the Shaddai, always. And especially to keep doing so, even when the sufferings of this life seem to contradict that. And it's here that this name of God contains such a special meaning for every believer. Because we too are troubled, every one of us, at different times, in what sometimes we see as unanswered prayer, unexplainable suffering in the lives of those who God loves. You know, when God gave us this name, he was declaring himself as a God who is for eternity the Almighty One. He will not allow himself to be anything else. He has made himself unable, and he's only he has got the power to do that. He has made himself unable to break his promise to take care of us. By this name, he commits himself to preserving our souls against all that the evil one and this life will throw at us. And even when the things we are going through seem to suggest otherwise, he is still Almighty. That is the message of Job. And consequently, you know, when we go through the circumstances, as we all do, some more than others, we know that. When circumstances force us to live on the edge of life, when things happen that we can't understand, we can't comprehend, it's this name for God, El Shaddai, that says, trust me, I haven't changed. Trust me. You know, we will never on this earth fully understand God's ways. We will never do that. But by faith, we can always be assured that he has promised to always be our El Shaddai. He's promised that. That's a promise that he will never and is unable to break. El Shaddai, what a name for our God.